Come, Lord Jesus, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. You may be seated. You know, in the world of technology, and even for those of us who still read the newspaper, we're bombarded by headlines. You know, every day there are headlines, and I'm always interested to read the headline. I feel for those who write headlines because I feel like they're trying to say a lot with a few words. But I find many of those headlines are confusing and some totally misleading. And I'll just share a few examples for you right here. Police begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Minors refuse to work after death. Juvenile court to try shooting defendants. How about this one? Red tape holds up new bridge. Man struck by lightning faces battery charge. Typhoon rips through cemetery, hundreds dead. Misleading headlines. Or are they? I don't know. When Jesus began his public ministry, you know, the news headline of the day could have read, "Local carpenter turned preacher proclaims the kingdom of God has arrived." And indeed, that's exactly what he did. He proclaimed through his preaching, through his teaching, through his healing, that the kingdom of God was at hand. The long-awaited promised kingdom was here. But you know, the local news headline was totally misleading, because what Jesus said and what the people heard were two totally different things. And as we continue reading through chapter 24 of the story, Jesus is no ordinary man. I think Jesus' biggest challenge of the day was one of communication. How is he going to convey his message? It was one of changing expectations of what the kingdom of God was all about and redefining within the Jewish mind and heart what the kingdom of God really was. You know, every Sunday at least, and maybe more than that, we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And I think we really have to pause for a minute when we say those words and ask ourselves, do we really know what we're asking when we say, "Lord, your kingdom come"? Do we really want that kingdom to come? Do we really understand the implications? How well does it line up with our own expectations? Are we willing to let go of some of those expectations in order to allow God to do something new in our lives? Well, the Jewish expectations were pretty set in stone, and they were high as well. They were expecting the Messiah to come and to rule Israel and to rule with force. They hated the Romans. They hated the kings that ruled and lorded over them. And they knew that God was going to send them a new king, like King David, to reestablish their earthly, you know, dominion, their earthly rule. And it was going to be a Jewish kingdom. And you know, it harkens back to that conversation that the Israelites had with God in chapter 10 of the story. You may remember, they asked God for a king. They wanted a king like every other nation had. A king that would go off and fight their battles and lead them victorious, defend their land. But they didn't understand that king was going to take their sons and their daughters and their property and their livestock and was going to abuse them. And God said, no, you don't want a king. Bad idea. And they said, yes, God, we do want one. And they had their way. And they rejected God as their king for an earthly king. And it seems very much like that same choice is before them today with Jesus. Do they want a godly king? Or do they want another earthly king? What the Jews were looking for and what Jesus was preaching were two totally different things. The kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming was a spiritual matter. A matter primarily, first and foremost, of the heart. Not about worldly power and might. Jesus plainly told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." It was not about brute strength, but about spirit and truth. The kingdom of God in the hearts of people. You remember Jesus telling Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And no one can enter it unless he is born of water and the Spirit." And this kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming was not one of geographical territory, but rather it was a kingdom that was going to include all people from every race and nation, not just for the Jewish people. That was hard for them to understand. No wonder they didn't get it. Jesus and the Jewish authorities were speaking two different radio frequencies altogether. Over and over, we hear that the kingdom of God begins by putting Jesus on the throne, putting God on the throne where he belongs, allowing him to rule and govern our hearts and our lives. It's not something that we are waiting to come, that we're waiting to be imposed upon our world. It is happening right now when we submit to his will, when we bow our knee to him and worship him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You know, Jesus did most of his teaching by telling stories, stories that connected with people's lives. And many of them began with that familiar opening, "The kingdom of God is like." The kingdom of God is like a man who sowed seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like a lady who had some yeast. The kingdom of God is like a man who found buried treasure. Over and over, Jesus began to shed this light on the kingdom of God. These captivating stories led us into this great narrative. And then all of a sudden, there always was this kicker at the end of the story, at the end of the parable. And all of a sudden, we realized that the story took a big swing. And it swung right back on the listener, those who heard it. And immediately there was a demand. There was a demand placed on the listener and a choice. In almost every instance, the demand was a question. And the question is this: are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve? To be obedient, to follow, to submit. These two things were consistent. The rule of God in our hearts and our willingness to be a servant. And so when the Jewish authorities heard kingdom of God, they heard powerful ally. They heard somebody who they could, conquer the world with. They didn't hear humble service or serving others. Even Jesus' disciples struggled. They said, "Teacher, when you come into your kingdom, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We want to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." He said, "Guys, you don't know what you're asking." They were thinking about padded thrones, and Jesus was thinking about wooden crosses. That was Jesus' glory. A wooden cross. Not some lofty, comfortable, padded throne. And he goes on to say, the rulers that lorded over them, he says, "Not so with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Do we really understand the kingdom of God? Or are we attracted to the perks and the promises and the privilege? It's easy for us to forget that the kingdom of God means being a servant, humbling ourselves and serving Christ by serving others. It's a challenge. It's as much a challenge for us today as it was for those who heard it the very first time. And John says, "Repent and believe the good news. Turn away from yourself and turn to God." Those who had eyes to see this kingdom and ears to hear it were the poor, the weak, the marginalized, the people who knew their condition of sin and death. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you also wish to leave?" Peter said, "Lord, to whom may we go? You have the words of eternal life." Let the kingdom of God rule in your hearts. Amen.